It is time to go around the NFL. Brandon Scott is in for Reginald Atatula. We got John Lopez and Figgy Fig here in the building. And I wanted to point this out off top. The Texans, from the schedule release, they got four primetime games, all right? So gone are the days when we can, as Houston fans, as Texans fans, be complaining about not getting the national spotlight. Mm-hmm. Why ain't nobody checking for us? You got four this year. You had, what, six last year or something like
five,
that?
Five, wasn't it?
Five, yeah. Fewer than last year, but still quite a few. Two Monday night games, a Thursday night, and a Sunday night game. I want to just take our eyes off our own paper for just a second here. Ed, how many nationally televised games, primetime games, do you think the division rival, Jacksonville Jaguars got, despite the fact that Trevor Lawrence was a part of the marketing marketing rollout for this schedule release?
Well, I saw your note, so share with the class.
They got one single damn nationally televised game for a team and for a franchise that was being marketed along with. And it was the curious part of this. Like, why is Trevor Lawrence in your graphic promoting the schedule release, knowing damn well that we are very close to forgetting all about Trevor Lawrence, except for us in the AFC South, because we got to see him twice a year. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Jaguars won to the Texans 4. I don't know if that is, like, there's any indication of, like, how big of a difference there's going to be between the two teams this year, but that definitely tells you the huge difference in how they are viewed by the league.
No, and I think it says a lot about Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
At this point in his career. Because
he was playing a lot last year.
Yeah, and at this point.
And it was bad.
Not to mention the fact that they got him Travis Hunter in the draft.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they're not even putting Trevor Lawrence, Travis Hunter on the screen for you.
Yeah, no, and that says an awful lot about just where he is and where they are in their development. 5 years in?
Year five, by the way.
5 years in?
Year five.
Man.
Like, could you have predicted? Remember, it was tank for Trevor and all of that. Could you have imagined, fast forward, from the day he got drafted, or just the moment we knew, okay, when his junior season ended, because we knew he'd be the number one pick after that.
After his freshman year,
you're right. Could you have imagined that fast forward into year five, the start of year five of Trevor Lawrence's career, the NFL would have no interest in putting him on national television on a regular basis?
Right. It's like, pretty incredible.
It's wild how things can turn. So that was something that stood out to me, how year five of the Jaguars and nobody is checking for Trevor Lawrence, even in year one of the Travis Hunter era. So I'm with that. No one is checking for them.
I kind of laughed out loud when I seen the Titans had zero primetime games.
Yeah.
The Browns had zero primetime games. And the New Orleans Saints, I'm glad they didn't give him any primetime games, even before the Derek Carr retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm just happy they ain't put no more Saints on TV.
Yeah, we don't need the Saints on TV. Now, I am interested, though, since you mentioned it, Figgy, with the league not showcasing the Titans. Look, I don't think the Titans are going to be very good. I'm not itching to watch the Titans. Part of me wishes that we didn't have to watch them twice a year, if I'm being quite honest about it. But does it not surprise either one of y'all that the league wouldn't want to showcase their number? Like, so think about it. Mm-hmm. Their number one and number two overall pick, counted, we've just discussed it now, have a total of one primetime game between the two of them. And the number one pick, never mind the fact that draft day, draft night, he didn't get a lot of shine, but he ain't going to get a lot of shine on the national stage either.
I mean, if we're being honest, that is a surprise, because the number one pick is always.
I'm shocked by it.
At least one.
Yeah. Well, and certainly if it's a quarterback, recently now it's usually now a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you got a number one pick as the quarterback, and a consensus that it's not like Cam Ward was like, oh, who's going to be the number one pick?
Right.
Like, everybody knew he was going to be the number one pick. He's a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's going to a team that obviously could use a boost.
Yeah.
That part of it surprised me that they're not in there. I wanted to get your thoughts, too, on this, Lopez. You actually put this in here about the 10 must-see matchups this season, including Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah. I think the key thing here to remember ties in with another point that I brought up yesterday, and I want to bring up with you to see what your thoughts were. I don't think this is ever going to happen, but I think the NFL is doing everything it can to make the Chiefs America's team. It won't happen. It's always going to be the Cowboys. They came along at the perfect time. Enough people hate them as love them, and it's just no matter what, the Cowboys.
They talk about them all the time.
They're just going to be it. But they really want the Chiefs. They're going to Brazil. They're going, you know, all these primetime games. They're playing Christmas. They're playing Thanksgiving. You know, all this stuff. They really want the Chiefs to be that team.
See, I always looked at America's team as kind of two-pronged. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the America's team that is branded as America's team, and then there's the team that's actually America's team because they're either dominant or more compelling or more interesting at the time. Like, to me, this is not much different from the Patriots in their heyday, whereas you might still call the Cowboys America's team, but throughout the 2000s and then that back half, that last stretch that they had in the aughts, it was the Patriots that were America.
Yeah, but I don't think enough people like the Patriots as like the Chiefs.
Ooh, do people like the Chiefs?
Oh, because of, you know, all the various factors. Patrick Mahomes,
I feel like we're
Taylor
starting
Swift.
To get into that that phase of where the Patriots kind of always were with the Chiefs.
I think even this Super Bowl just showing everybody rooting for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Despite the Chiefs. And these are the Eagles.
Yeah, the people normally, like, come on.
Yeah, people really don't care for the Eagles like that either.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like Mahomes is as likable as he was when the Mahomes thing first started. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, people, you know, kind of bring his family in, like his wife and his brother, as other reasons to hate on him. And that, like, that's off the field stuff. But then the success, people just kind of overgeneralize for a second, tend to resent success. So I think the more successful you are and the longer that you're successful, that the more resentment that you're going to get. So, like, they are the team that you're going to – that some people are going to hate to love and love to hate.
Yeah, and as far as, like, the games to watch, it all comes into play, right? Because the teams that were did so well yesterday, teams people love, teams people love to hate. I mean, Eagles at Chiefs, that's got to be on the list, of course, for obvious reasons. Chiefs at Bills, you know, that's going to be, you know, one of the – you're sensing a trend here.
So if you're not, it's a lot of Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Eagles. I'm forgetting one team.
Ravens at Bills is
pretty much it.
Sound like the AFC is a powerhouse. And then
Ravens at Chiefs.
You throw in some Commanders and you throw in some
Lions.
And Lions. That was the other one.
Yeah.
But that's basically it. Like, they got five teams that are really like
the sweet spot. Say that Thanksgiving slate. Mm-hmm. That's a good slate
Good slate. But anyway, so CBS put together this list of, you know, the 10 must watch games. That now that the schedule is released. The only three teams that were not Chiefs, Bills, Lions,
Ravens, or Eagles,
are Bears at Commanders, which I get that.
Yeah.
And the Bengals at the Bills.
Yeah. I think the Commanders might have another game in there,
they
too.
They might,
But it's against one of those other teams that you're
against
talking about.
Against the Lions.
Yeah. So, like, it's basically five teams with a couple of sprinkle in the rookie of the year or the offensive rookie of the year and just a little here and there.
So here's the question. This is why I brought up the list. We talk about year five and Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
In year three with C.J. Stroud, shouldn't they have one of the top 10 games that are must-see across the league?
I thought of it in a similar way.
Yeah.
Of not shouldn't they, but because I think the answer is no. I think – based off of what they are, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And I think more so, like, I just came to a conclusion. It's a shame that they don't.
It's a shame.
Like, I wish that they did. Mm-hmm. I wish that more people, like, they were a good enough and compelling enough team that more people were checking for them and wanted to actually watch them play football.
Yeah.
And they got four primetime games. Not now one of them is a must-see game, according to this list.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this is a subjective list, but I got a hard time arguing with it.
Sure.
Like, with any of the games that they mentioned, putting any Texans matchup above it.
Yeah. And that's why it's kind of a, you know, we talk about how this is really kind of a turning point, not turning point, but crucial for the Texans with the offensive line and Nick Cayley and all that. In terms of, like, C.J. Stroud's star status, it's kind of a big year for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs to get back on top because everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels and even Caleb Williams and, you know, all these other things more so than C.J. Stroud.
I've talked about this a time or two with Ron Hughley from The Drive about how CJ, just with his rookie year alone, and it's not like last year he was bad, he just wasn't as good as his rookie year, but I think from that alone, he's already kind of earned his future, earned his lot in life. Like, nobody here is going to have a hot take of, hey, they're just going to let CJ walk. No, CJ's going to get paid. He's going to get extended. He's going to be here a long time.
Yeah.
But the shine, talk about losing its luster, the buzz factor.
Yeah.
Like, man, it wasn't just that he was greedy with the podcast circuit and like being all over the place after that rookie year.
Yeah.
I think there was a demand for his attention.
There was.
A demand to like the next big thing, the next big quarterback. And I think he still has a tremendous opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, I think, obviously hurt that.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, like you say, it's a big turning point of, okay, which direction are you going in? Are you going in the year one direction?
Yeah.
Or are you going backwards like you did in year two?
Yeah.
Definitely a seminal moment. But yeah, going through these games, like that to me is where the Texans need to be trying to get to is, hey, how do our games against the Bills,
yeah,
our game, who they beat last year, to be fair,
mm-hmm,
or our games against the Ravens? Like, nobody wants to watch that because nobody thinks it's going to be any good. Nobody thinks that the Texans are going to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, the division, I don't think there's much you can do about that. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the division itself is probably a letdown and probably really disappointing. But I don't know, man. I would like for the Texans to get in a space where people are talking a little bit more about some of their more marquee matchups.
Yeah.
Nobody, it seems like, is doing
that. I mean, you look at the primetime games by team. Obviously, the Chiefs have the most. You mentioned the three that don't have any, Figgy. But, like, some of these rising stars have just as many or more in terms of quarterbacks as C.J. Stroud and the Texans have. So it is, like, kind of a, not turning point, but, you know, sort of a very important, crucial year for him and his status in the league.
No doubt about it, as we continue around the NFL here on In the Loop. Quote from Matthew Stafford, who, as we found out last night, is going to be the first quarterback that your Houston Texans face in the 2025 season. This is a direct quote from Matthew Stafford. "I've been lucky with receivers, and Davante Adams fits right in." Now, I know we're not in the confessions portion of the program yet, but I am going to give you an early confession here. I had not really given much thought. I knew, obviously, they were going to play the Rams, but I had not given much thought to the Stafford-Davante Adams pairing or connection. Man. Until I saw this schedule and started to think about, like, who's on the teams that they're facing.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought about. When I seen that, I'm like, man.
What is I'm saying? With the schedule, when the schedule came out.
The crazy thing is, I totally disregarded their defense.
Yeah.
Their defense
which is good.
Was good.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, they're going to have their hands full. And look, I'm a homer. I ain't going to lie. I was thinking, like, oh, Stingley got him.
Yeah.
You know, Kamari, they going to be good. They all right.
Puka and Devontae.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, oh, it's going to be tough, but I think they got it. But I'm like, man, that defense against that offensive line, I'm like, man, that's a tough game one.
And look, I know the Davante Adams era with the Jets is going to be a forgotten one when history writes itself.
Yeah.
But he made plays against the Texans.
There. Hey, this.
Hopefully they don't try to guard him in the slot with Jalen Petrie or whoever it was. But
this might be a Randy Moss for the when Randy Moss went from the Raiders to the Patriots. Man, it could potentially be something like that.
I mean, it's a weapon.
So
it's a damn good weapon.
The homer in me is hoping that Seth Payne's theory on 32-year-old wide receivers comes to fruition. Because I think, like, Davante Adams isn't, you know, the Hall of Fame Davante Adams that he was in the prime of his career.
Don't think so.
But he's still a damn, like, you don't have to be that.
Yeah.
He's, like, 80% of that is still a damn good receiver.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he's closer to 60.
Yeah.
Like, is this the year, does it work out perfectly for the Texans that the year that Davante Adams truly falls off a cliff, and I'm talking about his performance, obviously.
Yeah.
His performance falls off a cliff will be the year where the Texans are facing his team in week one.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean.
Yeah. Like you said, he ain't in his prime right now, but I don't think he's what DeAndre Hopkins was
totally
last year.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So that's still a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
Be honest about that. I'm
him and Puka. Man.
Hey,
I could be thinking too much into
it, you're not,
man.
Because
Stafford a little up there too.
We're gonna give our week by week picks here in a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna do that at noon. So y'all make sure y'all stick around. Do we think that the Texans will end up winning this game to start the season against the Los Angeles Rams? And then, of course, throughout the rest of the season, the entire schedule what do we think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. That's coming up at noon. So make sure you stick around for that. But coming up next, that was around the NFL, by the way. Coming up next on In the Loop, the Texans are good at so many things. Why aren't they good at this one thing? We'll talk about that next on In the Loop. Why are the Texans so good at so many things?
They are.
But not good at all mm-hmm. at this, according to John Lopez. Look, I think
between... Why are we talking about the offensive line again, man?
You know what? That's it. Maybe they're the ones doing the schedule videos.
Yeah. Look, this ain't a confession, but I'm gonna go since you brought it up.
Let me quit. I don't need Nick Caserio cussing me out. Nah,
can I be real? Is this a safe space?
This is a safe space.
I'm having more fun talking about this than I ever have talking about our offensive
this
line.
Is true.
Like this, and look, feel free to criticize me if you want to on the text line or on the YouTube chat, but I find this to be a much more compelling conversation than who the hell is gonna play right and left guard and what the situation is at center for the Texans. Like mm-hmm. that's probably more important. But man, does that get monotonous and difficult after a while?
Mm-hmm.
But this here, man, the Texans and this schedule release, and we're excited about the schedule, excited about the season, but got a couple of gripes. I feel like between what we did on the air earlier with the question of the day
mm-hmm.
and what we've done in between segments, even the parts that the audience hasn't been able to hear. We have come up between the three of us, I feel like, with better and more creative ideas than not really just the Texans, but then I think quite a few teams in the NFL. I'm not sure what they're missing here.
And I don't want to just sit here in Monday morning quarterback everything, because we all understand. You do it every day.
Yes.
I've done a lot of it. It's difficult to come up with these types of ideas and to implement them and to get everybody involved. And I'm not saying it's easy. What I am saying is it's kind of perplexing that the Texans are so good at everything right now. They are really good at, you know, branding themselves, really good at social media.
A lot of stuff, even the gear.
The events, the gear, the uniforms. They're really good at a lot of things. So I'm not saying, oh, boy, you know, you really, you know, screwed up on that one. No, what I'm saying is it's just perplexing to me that they're year in, year out, not very good at the schedule release video.
But we want to be good at football, Lopez.
I get it.
Why are you talking about
this? The schedule don't matter. It's all about what's on the field.
What about the game?
Tell the NFL the schedule doesn't matter. Tell the millions of fans that are all
who
in.
Who gave a damn about the schedule?
Millions of fans care. In fact, let's go through like a kind of a brief top five in the news here. Today in terms of schedule release, the Colts had one, which I got to say, I had it ranked number one before it went down.
That's probably why it went down. It was too good.
Yeah. It was so good.
I think Tyreek Hill kind of liked it too.
Tyreek Hill, what did he say?
He tweeted, said, should have left it up because they eventually took it down.
All right, so tell the people.
He said it was funny.
Tell the people what it is, Lopez.
It was a Minecraft-styled video. Well, it was a Minecraft video. And they had to delete it. They said because they didn't get permission from Microsoft. And they thought it was a little insensitive to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill said he thought it was funny. but they were taking shots at everybody.
Yeah.
Like Liam Cohen, when the Jags popped up. They did the Duval thing. They had when they had the Arizona game, they had a little bitty short Kyler Murray running around with all the big dudes.
Yeah.
They had Ian Rapoport and Schultz.
Yeah, Jordan Schultz fighting
at a Starbucks. I mean, it was awesome. They had, for the Texans, they had Alexi Earle kind of twerking. Alexi Earle, if you don't know.
Yeah, Braxton Berrios' viral girlfriend.
Yes. They had, for the Falcons, John Rocker fighting John Rocker.
John Rocker?
Yeah, okay. It was fighting John
because
Rocker.
Because I seen another one with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. It was Patrick Mahomes Sr. fighting John Rocker.
Oh, yeah, so maybe that was it.
I think that might have been the Braves. Yeah. Or not the Braves, but the Falcons.
The Falcons.
It was somebody else did the Minecraft one,
that
too.
That would have made
but,
sense.
But it was awesome. The other one that I just absolutely loved and blew me away was the Cardinals. So apparently, now this is what I'm talking about. When you get creative... When you get, you know, you put some effort into it, no offense, but, you know, you put some real high-level effort into it, you produce it. Their linebacker, Mac Wilson, wrote and rapped this.
K1 told me what to play. Let's find tune some things, then we off to Tampa Bay. Love the Superdome on the road against the Saints. Cheese in the safe at the crib, Green Bay. Get in the field, you know the boys make it happen. Brought the heat with us because it get cold in Cincinnati. The Bird Gang get home against the Atlanta Falcons. Another fight I came, cowboy hat, because we in Dallas. Yeah, we scrap it up, get ready to battle. Hit so hard like we had 12 men in Seattle.
Hey, I'm telling you,
who spits in the Texans locker room? We don't know. I don't see.
See, that's the only thing. I think this is cool.
Yeah.
I don't know who rap in the Texans locker room.
But nah,
man.
I think that's something for us to find out.
Yeah.
There is no way that they come up with a 53-man roster and ain't nobody on there that can rap.
This is true.
And certainly at this point where the roster is above that.
Yeah. But see, I'm sure there's somebody in there that can rap, but can they rap good?
Yeah, no. I was going to say.
We don't need trash ass songs.
I'm sure there's somebody in there that think they can rap.
So it wasn't just me. This was badass.
That's pretty good.
I was impressed.
That was pretty good. Definitely pretty good.
Then the Chargers, we don't even have to play it. They did a Minecraft. They actually got permission from Microsoft.
Key little part there.
Yeah, and it was really, really good. The graphics, the production, all that stuff. The other one that I liked, Figgy, and this could have been another Texans type of thing. The Broncos, where there's one of the biggest rodeos in the world. They had kids.
Ain't better than ours.
It is not bigger than ours, but it is one of the biggest ones. They had kids mutton busting with the logos of the opposing helmets, and everyone came through to announce the schedule.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of that, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's the Uniquely Broncos main event is about to begin. We've got 14 challengers stepping into the arena to test their skills. Who is going to hang on to become this year's...
And they're all falling off. They're all getting stomped on by the sheep. And then, of course, the Broncos kid stays on at the end. Titans, we talked about, was so good with the schedule Rizzy.
Broncos could have, just to mention, they could have added a little extra sauce if they wanted to make fun of the Houston rodeo. Like something like the lights going out on the Journey concert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like something to that effect. Like our rodeo is better than yours. Just to talk smack. Not that it actually is, because, of course, it's not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that would have been cool.
So it's something that, it perplexes me. Now, it's not just me, because the video was posted of the Texans video, schedule release video. And then I started going through the comments, and they were getting torched. And this is the one. I mentioned this earlier to off air. When you lose Debbie the Texan,
She wasn't feeling it.
I'm telling you, she commented on that video. Meh.
Really?
When you lose Debbie the Texan on a scheduled release,
I feel like
video,
something's wrong with me then. Because I didn't think it was that bad. I just retweeted like, all right, I kind of like it. I did retweet and said, I wish I was in it.
Yeah.
It would be cool if I got a little WhatsApp or something in it.
And see, I don't know if it was because I was just like locked into the Astros game at the moment, because I was there at the game for the first time all year, or what it was. But when I see that Lopez had as many objections to it, and then he brings out Debbie the Texan, who loves everything Texans and all things Texans, I do feel like you got to do some soul searching and look from within to see, okay, how can we at least get at least attract our most captive fan, right? Our most captivated fan, right? Like if we lose them, then we definitely didn't do something creative. All right, so Lopez, rank these then. Who did you like? I really enjoyed the rap. I feel like I enjoyed the Minecraft thing that the Colts actually deleted. Now, to the Texans' credit, I appreciated them clapping back on the Colts mistake. Like I thought that was just as, or if not more creative than their actual effort here on trying to release the schedule.
No, like I said, they do a lot of things well, social media especially.
So how would you rank these things?
I would say Colts 1, even though it was taken down. I'm with Tyreek Hill on that one. Cardinals 2, that rap was off the charts. Chargers 3, Broncos 4, and the Titans were 5.
I'm surprised you got the Titans that low.
Again, you could invert it and be right. The Titans was fantastic, just the way they did that schedule Rizzy, and they called and they said the side effects for the Texans might be imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Some other ones I kind of like. I like the Chiefs one. I like the Cash Cab.
Yeah.
I like the Carolina Panthers one. I feel like they put I felt like I was watching a movie.
Which one was that?
It was one. They was kind of sitting around. I forgot what they played this off of, but. I thought that was pretty good. I got a good laugh out of that one.
Yeah.
You had Javier Legarrette. Was it Legarrette?
Xavier Legarrette?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Xavier Legarrette. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He was acting like he was from, he was British.
Okay.
He was talking, yeah, he was supposed to be talking in a British accent and all that stuff. But yeah. I thought it was pretty funny.
I can imagine that was rough.
That is funny just explaining it.
Yes. Just as a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's the, I don't know. I don't know if we got a Texan who's got a, that's why maybe that's what we need.
Hey, you could have the Jaden and Jalen guys fishing.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Because they got 15, 25 Jalens on the team. Yeah. Something like that. Something like 50-11.
What does Jalen think? What's Jaden think?
Yeah.
I don't know. How about Jalen?
Have him do like Spider-Man meme type of stuff.
Yeah.
Looking at like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that the Texans, I hope that next year they at least kind of give it, maybe outsource this thing. Like, this is what I was thinking. Like, maybe it's just the in-house, what's in-house doesn't quite have this. Like, they got the clapback.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Gen Z appeal.
Yeah.
They're young, maybe a little edgy, but don't quite have, you know, this club in their bag. So, shout out to the teams that did. But the Texans, they're not even ranking in the top.
Yeah. I will bring in the movie producer. Somebody that produced or was at least part of a movie set or TV show and bring them in to kind of construct something a little bit.
Yeah.
Just try something else different, man. Mm-hmm. I would literally try to make a 3-minute movie.
And they're really leaning into the Gen Z, which is cool. But even millennials like y'all selves.
Yeah.
Kind of were lost on some of that.
I think the other thing, too, is like we see a lot of the ones we like a lot are the ones that are a little bit raunchier.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe they don't want to go down that lane.
A little too safe?
Yeah. I ain't going to say too safe. Some people don't really care for all of that type mm-hmm. of stuff, like bashing on, like really going hard on another team or like the Tyreek Hill getting arrested in the water on the Minecraft game.
Yeah.
Like maybe they don't want to go that far with it. Yeah. Maybe they just kind of want to keep it clean, still keep it family a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but pettiness is more entertaining.
It really
yeah.
is.
Edginess is more it fun. Is. So let's lean in to that if we can. All right. So. They're not great at that. Good news for Texans fans. I'll leave you with this. I think they're going to be a lot better on the football
field. Yes, they are.
Than they were.
And all of this do not matter when it comes to football for real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The football. Still fun to discuss, though. Much more fun than talking about guards and centers. But I digress. All right. So what's popping? Let's talk about what's popping next here on In the Loop. There are some changes to true seeding in college football. Can I interest you in that?
Yes.
Let's talk about it next on In the Loop. What's poppin'? It's In the Loop. Brandon Scott in for Reginald Atatula here with John Lopez and Figgy Fig. And look, we got some news in the college football world. It appears that there is consensus among the major conferences to, let's say, shift a little bit how they do seeding, or at least how the top seeds are seeded. The conference, before, it was the conference champions and the Power Five conferences got bye weeks and mm-hmm. got top seeds in the college football playoff. They are going to do away with that, or at least there is consensus about doing away with that. This is something that the Big Ten and the SEC openly supported and advocated for back when athletic directors and administrators were meeting back in March. It looks like they've reached consensus on this. Lopez, what say you? Is this the right thing to do? This is the most sensible thing to do for college football.
Absolutely. And thank you, Ohio State. because I was gonna say it because we saw it in living color last year. Ohio State, they were sixth entering the college football playoff, but Boise State, even though they were ranked ninth, and Arizona State ranked 10th, they were the highest ranked conferences champions, so they went in. This is almost a no-brainer. And by the way, the NFL is kind of leaning the same direction.
It honestly makes me wonder how it is that we haven't sooner gone to this place.
Yeah.
And I wonder how long it's going to take for the NFL to get there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about that. But, like, the whole conference champion gets the bye thing, or conference champion gets the higher seeding thing, it's just, like, mindless to me.
Yeah.
Like, it lacks necessary context that all of us clearly have if we're following the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why pretend like you don't know these things about. And I, look, the Texans are going to be a team, I think, at some point that might not benefit from this because they're going to, you know, like, so as a Texans fan, it might sound weird to say, but college football specifically, like, I would think on these terms, like, hey, just because you're a conference champion, but if you're in a lesser conference, why would you be seated?
Well, you're saying
me?
Pretend. I think what they've been pretending is that some conferences are not better than others. They are. We all know they are.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Big Ten, SEC, you know, they're better conferences. They play better teams. They're tougher schedules.
But even if you wanted to concede that, or if you didn't want to concede that, Lopez, like, you could just do it with the teams themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And then do all of that calculating, okay?
Yeah.
Well, how did the conference look this year?
Yeah.
How did the
teams, year by year.
How did these teams look this year? Like, mm-hmm. I think we do the thing where, like, the SEC is dominant. Mm-hmm. We say that for a year or two, and then that's the thing that we say forever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, is it still?
That's not necessarily the case.
And we do that with a lot of different things.
But that's why the rankings.
College football is one of the biggest examples.
Because people were saying that about the Big Ten at one point. Like, who was in the Big Ten outside the normal two?
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's a little more heavier now.
But to mention the fact that we've got realignment and they got some teams in there.
You got USC. Right. You got Oregon.
Right. Exactly. Right. And that's why the national rankings come into play and strength of schedule. And, you know, maybe the Big 12, you know, some year is going to have, you know, four teams that are playing great non-conference. Their own teams are beating other, you know, ranked or supposedly better teams. Well, then the rankings get you into the tournament.
Yeah.
But just to say, okay, what are they winning a conference what do they get for winning the conference then? They get into it. They still get into it.
Yeah.
It's just a reseeding.
Yeah. And they kind of suck too, especially for the higher teams, because mm-hmm. like somebody like Oregon or Tennessee or somebody like that, mm-hmm. now they got to face somebody that didn't win their conference, like Ohio State.
Right.
You should be like, man, these guys should not be this low. like our benefit for winning the conference or being higher is to play a lower seed.
Right.
Like, these guys are probably the third best team in the freaking country.
So how do you think it actually impacts the quality of play and competition by reseeding or properly seeding, in our opinion, which we agree on this? How do you think it's going to ultimately impact the product?
Well, I think it's going to be obviously deserved is the main thing.
Yeah.
Like Ohio State. Come on, they won the national championship.
Yeah.
You know, they had to go to Tennessee and all this other stuff, or play Tennessee and then
Tennessee, Oregon, Texas.
Yes.
And see, and the reason why I'm asking is because I feel like it's going to be a much more, I don't know if it's going to have that big of an impact on what we actually, like, I think everything's going to end up looking kind of closer to the same,
mm-hmm.
but the way we talk about it going in, like, this will make some conversations, I think, easier, or maybe we just flat out won't have, or maybe they'll look different because it's like, oh, do you think this should have been the top seed? Do you think that should have been the top seed? It won't be just, hey, automatic, mm-hmm. the conference champion guy.
I also think it could help, because what does the NCAA tournament have going forward? What has made it madness?
Yeah.
The Cinderella stories.
The unpredictability of it.
Yeah. So now you're going to have Boise State going to the Shoe or whatever it may be. And if they win, I mean, the fans are going to be all in. Or if they're in it until late in the fourth quarter, I think it's going to help, you know, sort of the television product.
Yeah, I guess I just ended up being the guy that didn't believe much in the little man, you know. It's a cute story. It's cool. Yeah. And I'd even root for it if somebody that went to a smaller school.
Yeah.
But, I think at the
it
end
worked
of the day,
for so long, man. Like, even like a TSU, like we seen it a couple years ago where it's like, oh, man, they really good. And then they get smacked around.
Oh, TCU. Yeah.
TCU.
Yeah.
And they get smacked around in the national championship game. Like, they shouldn't even been here.
Yeah. I mean, it even happens with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, like, nobody, every time Notre Dame is good, we're like, oh, man, not again.
Not again.
We're going to have to watch this crap. We're going to have to watch them get skull drugged by Alabama or Georgia or somebody to that effect, like a real team.
Yeah.
So, if that's what the lot in life is for Notre Dame, you can imagine, like, TCU flash in the pan. Arizona State had an amazing year last year, had a chance to beat Texas. Like, they're, and of course, obviously, this playoffs have expanded. You mentioned Boise.
Yeah.
They're Indiana last year. Mm-hmm. That Indiana, was it Indiana Penn State game? Right. I was like, man, I think I'm talking myself into one of these. And it's like, nah, man.
That's crazy.
But yeah, no, that's a welcome sight. We'll see how everything plays out. In the NBA playoffs, we had couple of different outcomes here, and the same was possible for both of them. We had 2-3-1 matchups, 3-1 matchups, closeout games for the teams obviously up 3-1. And the Celtics survive against the Knicks, even without Jason Tatum, who is, you know, has a torn Achilles and, you know, just a horrible injury there. But the Celtics show some heart and survive and are going to get to play another elimination game in Madison Square Garden. But the Warriors, cry me a river, the Warriors without Steph Curry could not be so lucky.
Hey, he's going to be ready for game six.
About that. Where are they, Lopez, where are they playing that at?
The golf course.
At the golf course. Or maybe
Cancun on three.
Steph Curry's backyard. I'm sure he's got a court or, you know,
do you think a place big enough for it. Six?
Yeah, you know.
He might have tried.
Yeah.
I don't think so, man. Yeah.
So one of my rougher takes, I did this on my podcast. One of my rougher takes was, and hopefully I'm good with this. Hopefully I jinxed them into it. I thought they could have beat Minnesota without Steph Curry. And this is because I saw the defense that they were playing against the Rockets.
Yeah.
And I had this belief in playoff Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy showed up for like real playoff Jimmy showed up for like exactly one game in this series, maybe two.
Yeah.
He had the 33-point game a couple of games ago, but they even lost that one, of course.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't. To be fair to him, they didn't bring him in to be playoff Jimmy per se, to kind of supplement what they already had. But can't say that I cried for my prediction of being wrong and watching the Warriors not do what the Celtics were able to do, and that survive without their superstar last night.
Yeah, but the Timberwolves were something, man.
Yeah, they are something.
They have something the Rockets don't, and that's the dude.
Yeah.
They've got the dude. And that would have been interesting to see, you know.
Yeah, like how does that?
Yeah,
how do these two things collide? The team that's got the dude, but also got some really good supporting cast, versus the team that doesn't have the dude, but's got like, you know, six to seven deep.
Yeah.
You know, really the Rockets, and I was gonna mention this earlier in the week if I had been on, but I'll just say it now. The Rockets, it does seem like they're trying to imitate the Celtics sort of model. Right. Maybe we don't have
find the guy eventually.
Or even I think Tatum is a top five player, but maybe not everybody does.
Maybe not this week.
Right, right. Top five player with two Achilles.
Yeah, 42, man.
Get well soon.
He was incredible in that game before he got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like certainly you want a player to emerge like Tatum, but even if they don't, could we have five or six that are top 40 or top 50 players,
then you're on to something.
The way that the Celtics do, which is really the charm of their success or the key to their success.
Yeah.
Not just that they got the superstar, but that they got the five guys that are all like borderline really good to great.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's what they're trying to do. But yeah, no, I think you're right, man. It would have been a great viewing experience to see them go up against Minnesota. And honestly, man, I think it would have been a much more, even with Steph hurt.
I think so.
I think it would have been a much more compelling series.
I think so. Two new faces as well, relatively. Obviously, the Timberwolves have been there, but you know, relatively new on the landscape of the NBA at large. I think it would have been fun.
Now, we mentioned these games. Draymond Green got fined $50,000 for criticizing the refs. You asked a question that I think is interesting. Is he fined for saying it, or is he fined because the NBA is embarrassed?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Is it not clearly both?
Well, it could be.
I think it's so clear because you can't criticize the ref. Like, it's just against the rules, whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah,
you just can't do it. So he's clearly being fined for breaking the rules.
Yeah,
but the rule is in place because the league does not like to be embarrassed does not like to be shown up. They prefer to embarrass themselves and
they do a good job
and release them last minute reports or 2 minute reports or whatever the hell it is, and emasculate their own referees to have you do it out there in the public.
Yeah, look, for those who don't remember, he went 5.5. Basically said like it's 5.5. I see what you're doing or something like that. Talking about the refs and making sure they cover the spread or whatever.
Yeah,
which is an absolute no-no, but it's totally Draymond.
I don't even know if you're Dray. If I'm a player, I'm gonna just say this. If I'm a player in the league, in any league, I'm not. You're never gonna know if I even know the spread.
Well, most players, that's the case. Not Draymond.
Man, get out of here with that.
But here's the thing: the NBA is so sensitive. Hey, they fixed the lottery, right? You know, a lot of people would say, and I have some fun with it, and I'm not saying it's altogether off the table that they did.
No, they could do it. They could do it. I don't think they did, but they could do whatever they want.
They
can
do whatever. They've had scandals with referees in the past, gambling scandals with referees in the past. They've had other scandals with referees in the past, like cashing first class tickets and pocketing the money.
Yeah.
They've had, you know, some very, you know, interesting, let's say, you know, point spreads happen at the ends of games. So I think it's as much, yeah, we're just embarrassed. We can't have this out there.
Man, not to mention
$50,000 worth.
Hey, did they ever find LeBron for that interview with Pat McAfee?
Yeah.
When he's like just basically, not basically, he is openly theorizing that the lottery, LeBron himself, a product of the lottery.
Yeah.
And possibly of the rigged one, if you believe that. Out there actually throwing that out there with Pat McAfee.
Yes, he was.
In front of God and everybody. Like, I wonder if he ever, you know, if the league ever kind of looked at that and said, you know what, it's probably not good if our...
They're not going to find LeBron for that.
Man. That would be crazy if they find an NBA player for, like, a interview away.
Yeah.
Like, just a podcast interview.
I think they've done it
like
before.
That?
Yeah, that is damaging. Like, people are still circling that back. Well, especially now with this lottery. Like, well, LeBron been told y'all a couple months ago that the lottery is rigged, and who would know better than somebody that has benefited from a rigged lottery the way LeBron has. So, yeah that is, very interesting. That's what's popping here on In the Loop. All right, let's finally do this. Coming up next here. Let's play the win-loss game. We heard Payne and Pendergast do it earlier. We've done it as well. How many games, which games are the Texans going to win and lose here in 2025? That's next on In the Loop.